Hello, and welcome to Breaking Our Silence. I am your host, Lupi Moreno. Breaking Our Silence is a show that discusses domestic violence in hopes that educating others will help prevent someone from becoming a victim and hopefully save someone's life. In today's episode, I will be discussing financial abuse. I will be referring to the abuser as a male, but keep in mind that the abuser can be male or female. So what is financial abuse? Financial abuse occurs when the abuser controls all the money, doesn't let the victim work outside the home, or sabotages her attempts to work. The abuser will make the victim totally dependent on him, which will make it harder for her to leave the relationship. Many victims stay in the relationship because they can't afford to leave. A 1998 study of domestic violence survivors conducted by the Family Violence Prevention Fund found that 74% of employed battered women were harassed by their partner while they were at work. When victims miss work due to domestic abuse, it also affects their employer. In 2003, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported that victims of domestic violence lost almost 8 million days of paid work because of the violence against them, which is the equivalent of more than 32,000 full-time jobs. In other cases, the victim can earn more money than the abuser and not be financially dependent on him. In cases like these, the abuser can refuse to work and make the victim support the family. This can lead to the abuser taking advantage of the victim's credit cards and bank accounts, which can ruin the victim's credit rating. To figure out if your partner is financially abusing you, think about how you are being treated by answering the following questions. Does your partner steal money from you or your family? Do they force you to give him or her access to your bank accounts to make transactions without your input? Do they make you feel as though you don't have a right to know any details about money or household resources? Do they put you on an allowance, even if you object to it? Do they force you to account for all the money you spend by, for example, asking you for receipts? Do they prevent you from working, attending school, or skill training sessions? Do they overuse your credit cards or refuse to pay the bills? Do they withhold physical resources from you, including food, clothes, necessary medications, or shelter? Do they force you to turn over your paychecks or public benefit payments? Do they force you to cash in, sell, or sign over any financial assets you own, such as bonds, stock, or property? Do they force you to agree to power of attorney so she or he can sign legal documents? Do they force you to work in a family business for little or no pay? If you answered yes to more than one of these questions, your partner may possibly be financially abusing you. In my first abusive relationship, which began at the age of 16 and went until the age of 29, I experienced financial abuse, among other types of abuse. It started out with my ex-husband not so much controlling the money, but wanting to know where I spent everything. Because I was in charge of the finances, I made more income than he did. So I was in charge of paying the bills. And he was fine with that, but when I wanted to buy myself something, if he didn't give me, like he would put like in quotes, permission, then he got upset. And I remember the first time that he got upset because I had gone to the store, I went shopping, and I saw a dress that I had liked. And I can clearly picture the dress in my mind. It was a light blue dress and had pockets in the front, and I liked it. It was comfortable, and the material was really soft, and When I got home and I showed him the dress that I had bought, he got upset because I had gone shopping without his permission. So he took the dress and he threw it on the ground, stomped on it, and then proceeded to punch me because I had purchased something without his permission. That happened during like the first year that we started living together. Later on, possibly, maybe, I think the next time that I really remember was about 5 years later, at the time that I was pregnant with our first daughter. I had gone to a friend of mine, one of my coworkers, was having a lingerie party at her house. And although at the time I was about 5 months pregnant, and I knew I wasn't going to be wearing it at that time, I went ahead and bought something that I liked because I figured, you know, I'll buy this for after I have the baby. And so I took it home, and when I got home, he asked me if I had bought anything because before I left the house, he told me, don't buy anything. Well, I ended up buying it. And I showed it to him when I got home. And again, he got very upset and started telling me. It's like, didn't I tell you not to buy anything? At that point, first time we were living in an apartment, so there was really nowhere that I could run. I mean, he took me by surprise. This time, I knew I was going to get hit because he had done it in the past. So I tried to get away from him, and I ran through the house, and I ended up in our laundry room in the corner of our laundry room. And when he caught up to me, he was upset because I had run from him. This was the first time that I ever had run from him. And he slapped me across the face, and as he slapped me, my eyeglasses went flying across the laundry room, landed on top of the washing machine. He then proceeded to punch me on the head, on the shoulders. I got down on the floor, and I kind of crouched because I was covering my stomach with my arms, and I was telling him to stop because he was going to hurt the baby. And he continued to punch me on my shoulders, on my back, kicked me, punched me on my head, and that time he was really, really upset. And I don't even understand why he was getting upset. I know it must have been just the control, because financially we were okay. I mean, we can afford it. Money was not an issue. We were doing fine financially. As I said, I took care of the finances, and I made sure to use my paychecks to pay all of our bills. His paychecks mainly went to savings account and were used for just spending, recreational, anything that we wanted to spend extra money on. We were doing well. We bought our first home at the age of 23. We had 3 vehicles and a motorcycle. We had our boat. And we were doing very well. So it's not like I couldn't afford to buy one dress or one item of clothing that I liked. But it was just the fact that he had told me not to buy something, and I did. So financially, that's pretty much how it was throughout the 13 years that we were together, where he would go out and buy whatever he wanted without even asking for my input. Pretty much, there were some times where we would discuss it, and he would ask me sometimes too if we could afford anything, and I would let him know, okay, this is how much we have in the bank, and it's like, okay, yeah, we can do that. But then he started to go a little crazy when we got credit cards. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say crazy, but using the credit cards. He began to abuse them and use them on things that he shouldn't have, like spending hundreds of dollars on firearms and ammunition. Those are mainly the things that he spent money on when I wasn't with him. He would go to gun shows and purchase high value items, the things that we didn't need. When I finally did leave him, I already knew that I was going to have to leave him because I just didn't want to raise my kids that way. I didn't want to raise them watching the abuse that was going on. And so I started to prepare. I started to open up another bank account or credit cards in my name because I knew once I left I was going to need something that he wouldn't have access to. And it was kind of like, should say, I started to prepare. And I was able to pay off some credit cards after we split up everything that we were going to do, what I was going to keep and what he was going to keep. And that was fine. We separated. We got divorced. I was paying off all my credit cards. I was doing very well. I had left him in May of 1995. Towards the end of the year, approximately November, around there, he called me up and told me that he was filing for bankruptcy and that we should go and file bankruptcy together. And I didn't understand because I told him, I'm not going to file bankruptcy. Why am I going to file? I've been doing fine. Well, come to find out that when we got divorced, I removed him from my credit cards and he didn't remove me from the ones that he was supposed to. So when he filed for bankruptcy, I was still on all those accounts and my name ended up becoming attached to my credit. He filed bankruptcy and the creditors then came after me to pay off his debts. And as a result, I ended up having to file bankruptcy myself, which was very upsetting because I had spent 10 years to build up my credit. I had excellent credit at the time. And it just all got destroyed because he had told me that if he was going down, he was taking me down with him. And by this time, we had already been separated for so many years, but he just didn't like the fact that I was still doing well and he wasn't. Ended up leaving that relationship. And a year later, I ended up getting involved in another relationship that lasted 9 years. In that relationship, my abuser would tell me things such as, oh, just go ahead and put it on your credit card. Let me know when the bill comes in and I'll give you the money. Or write a check and I'll give you the money to put in the account. Well, when the statements for my credit cards came in and I'd ask him for the money, he would tell me that he didn't have the money. And when I would write the checks and I ask him for the money that he was supposed to give me to put deposit into my checking account, he would tell me again he didn't have the money. It got to the point where, because by this time I had quit my full-time job that I had because I was going to start helping him with his business, which was a big mistake on my part. I should not have ever let myself get into a position where I was then financially dependent on him. Because although I was doing the majority of the work for the business was in his name and he controlled all the finances. So he wasn't giving me the money that he was supposed to. As a result, I got a letter from the bank saying they were closing my account because of too many insufficient funds. My credit cards were run up and had all gone to collections. So now I did not only not have a job because I quit mine to help him with his business, I now no longer had a checking account or credit cards. and I just, it got pretty bad. It came to the point where I got a 3-day eviction notice from my landlord saying that I had to pay the rent or leave. When I told him what was going on, he told me, "Oh, well, that's not my problem, that's your problem." Because he had a place to live, so he wasn't worried about it. Well, I eventually ended up asking for help. I got financial assistance for 5 months. I got back up on my feet. I got reinstated to my old position, got back my income that I was getting before. I got my full benefits back, and I, thank God, was able to recover from that. During that 9-year relationship, it was an up and down cycle where I'd be doing well and then I'd go back down because of different things that I was helping. I've learned a lot because of my past and more so that relationship of how I was taken advantage of. It takes a long time to recover from that. Because not only does it affect your credit, I just, the bankruptcy stayed on my credit report for 7 years, but it also makes people think that you're irresponsible. They see that you don't have any money. They see that you're in so much debt, but they don't understand what caused it. All they saw was that I was struggling. I was a struggling mom with 3 kids, and they thought I was stupid for putting myself in that situation. They blamed me for everything that I was going through. And yes, I take responsibility for my part of letting myself get into that position. But when you're in that situation and you're not mentally, emotionally, really aware of what's going on, because by this time, it's not just financial abuse that's going on. There's also the mental, the psychological. If, you're dealing with somebody who is a sociopath or, they're just so controlling and make everybody think that you're the one who is just very irresponsible. It looks bad on you, the victim. It affects your jobs. It affects any background checks that you're going through if you're trying to get a job. Because your future employer, all they see is your credit report. And if at this point, such as myself, I was still embarrassed to tell people what I was going through, if you're not coming clean and telling people that you're in an abusive relationship, you don't explain why your credit looks that way. Instead, you take the blame and you pretty much let people think that you're irresponsible because you're too ashamed to say what you're going through or you're trying to protect your abuser. If you're going through that, if you're in that situation right now, please let me tell you, stop doing that. I mean, it's only hurting yourself, and it's something that it can put you in a situation where it will take a long time to recover. I left that second abusive relationship 12 years ago, and it took me several years to get back up on my feet from that one. That one, even though my first abusive relationship was more physically abusive, it was the financial and psychological abuse that I went through in my second one that really affected my life. So, if you'd like to know, what can you do to prevent yourself from becoming a victim? Speaking from my own personal experience, I would say make sure you have a job so that you're not financially dependent on someone. If you have credit cards, don't let somebody use them. Don't believe them when they say they're going to give you the money. Don't believe them when they say, well, write a check and I'll give you the money. You have to protect yourself and your credit and your financial stability. And if you have children, even more so. Check your credit reports every so often because you want to make sure that they're not using your information if they have access to your Social Security number and stuff. Make sure that they're not creating false accounts, things that you don't know about. Keep an eye on your credit card statements. Make sure that they're not using your credit card and you don't even know about it. Check your statements. Make sure that everything is on there, that you know all of those transactions. Same thing with your checking accounts. Make sure that you are aware of everything that's going in and out of your account. And don't let them have access to your PIN number. In my second one, I was not married to him. So there was no reason for him to have access to any of my stuff. If I didn't give him permission, if I didn't write those checks. I mean, I should have protected my credit, my accounts. The first time, I was married. So I can understand, you know, if you're married and you have joint accounts, it's a little tougher, but it's still a good idea that even if you have joint accounts, to still have maybe a bank account of your own, even if it's a savings account. At least have one credit card that is just yours. And if you are planning to leave a relationship, try to pay off as much of the debt that you can before leaving the relationship. And if you're getting divorced and they're supposed to remove your name from certain accounts that they're in charge of, double check and make sure that it's done. I trusted him that he was going to do that because I had taken him off of the accounts that I kept. And I trusted him that he was going to do the same. I didn't know that he was running up all those credit cards. I didn't know that the day that I moved out, when I made our last mortgage payment, that he had not made any more mortgage payments after I left. And so my suggestion to you is to please guard your accounts. Guard your financial stuff. And it might seem selfish in a way, but you have to protect yourself if you are not in a healthy relationship. Because as I said earlier, you're asking these questions. If you answered yes to any of the questions before, that's how you know that you can't trust somebody with your accounts. If you didn't answer yes to any of those questions and you are in a good and loving, healthy relationship, which thank God I'm in right now, then you don't have to worry about this and it's fine to go ahead and be open with your partner, your spouse, about all your financial situations, everything. Like my current husband and I have, we have no secrets. We have our joint accounts. We also have our own separate accounts. But we don't have any secrets as far as hiding money or getting permission or anything like that. So ending this, I would like to again just say to please, for your own protection, make sure that you know what's going on with your accounts. Don't let anybody take advantage of you. If you can afford to pay for everything and they can't, just don't let them take advantage of you. It's okay to give gifts and to be nice. But be aware. Watch for red flags. Realize when they're starting to take advantage of you and when you're paying for everything and they're not paying for anything. And as I said, this can go male and female. It's not only females who are victims. It's also males. So thank you once again for listening to this episode of Breaking Our Silence. My next episode will air on December 21st, and that show will be When Physical Abuse Goes Too Far. In that episode, my guest, Leslie Browning, will be discussing sharing the story of her daughter who was murdered last December of 2016. So please tune in for that episode on December 21st when we share When Physical Abuse Goes Too Far. Thanks again for listening to Breaking Our Silence. I am your host, Lupe Moreno.